This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasothi and this is Front Row. Every year at the cusp of April and May, dancers in tights and tutus together with their artistic director Yannick Shergan make a collective gros jeté, big leap up north from Singapore, the island republic down south. And if I have it right, this year these dancers went all the way north to Georgetown first, Penang, before alighting gently in Demi-Plié here in Kuala Lumpur. And of course, the artistic director is here with me. Yannick is in the studio and we're going to be finding out more about this year's performance. Welcome, Yannick. How are you today?
I'm very glad to be here.
It's been ages since I had you on.
I don't know, maybe a year.
Yes. How many years has it been since the Singapore Dance Theatre comes to Kuala Lumpur?
KLPAC made the first invitation to us to go to the theater 7 years ago. So we've been going every year for 7 years, which is it's amazing how quickly that has happened. But it's been 7 years.
What keeps you coming back?
Oh, we like it. And the audience is very responsive to us. I'm very happy because it gives me an opportunity to show off the company in performances both in here in Penang. And anytime I can have the company perform, I'm always happy.
Okay. And how does that benefit the Singapore Dance Theatre?
Well, the truth is that we don't rehearse to rehearse. We rehearse to perform. The more performances we do, the better the company gets, the more experience it has on stage, the more it helps present the company in a better light, the more we dance in the region, the more people are aware of us, it heightens the arts. It's a win-win, as they say in vernacular.
So do you travel around the region as well?
I just took a group of dancers to Jakarta, and then later on I'm going to take the whole company to Jakarta. Last year we were in the Philippines, we're in Cambodia, of course we're here in Malaysia. We've been all over the world. We've been to France, we've been to America, we've been to Mexico, yes.
Okay, so travel is important for the development
Absolutely.
Of the troupe as well. So what else do you need to grow and that will continue to hold the imagination of the audience? It's been 7 years here in KL. What are you doing differently?
That's a question that happens to us a lot. It's not a question of differently. It's a question of refinement. You take the repertoire and you keep boosting it up a notch. As the dancers become better, you put bigger challenges in front of them. As the audience becomes more sophisticated, you can show them something that you might not have been able to show them before that they wouldn't have been ready to see. But because they've seen X, they can see Y. And, you know, you build and build and build and build. And that's very exciting, you know. And the one thing you mustn't ever do, as far as I'm concerned, is speak down to an audience, because an audience is very savvy, even if they aren't aware of it. But they know what's good. And sometimes it's time to show them something that has a little bit more distinction to say, yes, this was easy to like. And it's not that something isn't easy to like, but you have to sort of feed the mind as well as feed the immediate gratification senses. Everything can't be dessert.
Sure. you got to earn your dessert. Do you think ballet has become more inclusive now?
Oh, certainly. I mean, throughout the entire world, there's been talk about the fact that it's not about male or female or race or anything. It's who can do it, who's good at it, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay. And do you think ballet has grown in this part of the world?
Yes, certainly. Certainly it has.
You know, there seems to be so much emphasis and so many performances on contemporary dance, Yannick.
Well, the reason I'm probably making that face that you look at right now is that there's this thought that possibly contemporary is more accessible.
It is, definitely.
And I've heard people say that it's not so Western. Contemporary is actually an American art form that was developed. And so when I hear people talk about Asian contemporary, I go, well, yes, but if you really go back the same way that ballet is European in background, contemporary dance is certainly without doubt American in background. So what's the difference?
Okay. And what about dancers in the region? Do we have enough dancers?
That's always a question. There's certainly not enough elite training institutions, the same way that there are elite training institutions in music. Mm-hmm. But dancers that need to train, like right now there's a dancer from Taiwan that's in New York competing at Youth America Grand Prix, but he has to go to New Zealand to go to school.
Yes.
He can't go within Asia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's always that need.
Okay. And you had what, a Hong Kong male dancer? Is he the one? No. This is someone else.
Oh, this is...
Lam Chung Wing, who, you know, has made it to the Paris Opera Ballet at just 20 years of age.
Mm. But those dancers go into big schools like the Royal Ballet School or, you know, School of American Ballet. Those are our dancers, or the Australian Ballet School. They enter those schools to train at an elite. And then if they succeed through those schools, then truthfully, they have an awful lot of opportunities. That's the reason that, for example, this one Taiwanese dancer right now that goes to the New Zealand School of Dance, who's a very nice dancer, George, he's hoping that Youth America Grand Prix will open up a lot of doors for him, which is very understandable.
Mm-hmm. But then with Lam Chung Wing, don't you think it augurs well for us on this part side of the world to have, you know, a ballet dancer?
Well, you do
so
know
well.
That there was a Malaysian dancer many, many, many years ago that became a principal at the Royal Ballet in London.
Mm. I didn't know that.
Yes, Ravenna Tucker.
Okay.
Was a friend of mine, and she's Malaysian, and she became a principal dancer at the Royal Ballet. She went to the Royal Ballet School and then became a principal dancer there.
Fantastic. I didn't know that. And what about Singaporean dancers?
Well, we have more Singaporean dancers in Singapore dance theatre than we have ever had in the history of the company. And that's a conscious effort. That's by when dancers express a desire to become professional dancers, you support that, you give them advice of where it's possible to go to train to elite status. So all of that recruitment and support and interest helps. It also has a lot to do with parents that want their children to pursue careers in the arts, who aren't afraid of thinking that their children will be impoverished or in some way, you know.
I'm a parent myself. Yeah.
I can say this as...
And I'm concerned.
Well, I can say this as the fact that I had a parent who, when I said I wanted to be a dancer, didn't even blink, just said, what do we need to do? How do we get you to the best school? And only did all that was done was support. And my respect for him is beyond anything. If he had tried to talk me out of it and said, oh, but you're very smart, you should maybe go to business school or become a lawyer or a doctor or something like that, I don't know if I would feel the same way, because he knew I had the heart and soul of a dancer, and that's what he decided to support.
What do you think is the future of dancers at the Singapore Dance Theatre?
The future?
Mm.
One thing is that they all have second careers waiting for them, always, because a dancer retires somewhere around the age of 40. But the interesting thing is every single dancer that retires has a second career that is even more successful than their career as a dancer, because they've been prone to excellence. And that kind of study of dedication, et cetera, always makes them successful in their second career. I know of virtually no dancer who hasn't been successful in their second career to a major, major way. Probably more successful than they would have had they not danced in the first place.
That's very reassuring. Much is made about this choreography by Balanchine, but for those of us who are less discerning, don't quite understand it, what should we look out for in this dance?
Well, the thing is, we're going to do Theme and Variations, which is probably one of the most important ballets ever created. It was made for American Ballet Theatre in New York by George Balanchine as an exploration of a ballet in a grand manner. It's tutus and tiaras and men that are cavaliers, done to brilliant Tchaikovsky music. And I can say honestly, it's my favorite Balanchine ballet in history, and Balanchine made 437 ballets. And I think it's probably one of the greatest examples of classical choreography you will ever witness on any stage in the entire world.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic. So that's happening when? Tonight you have a show as well?
We have tonight, two tomorrow, and then on Sunday.
Okay, I'll give you more details up next. I'm speaking to Yannick Shergan, the Artistic Director of the Singapore Dance Theatre. The company is presenting Ballet Illuminations 2016 at KL Pack this weekend. Coming up, we'll find out, we look forward to this performance, but last year we were very taken up by the company's rendition of Natalie Weir's Bittersweet. And will we get the same quality, or will we get the same sort of performance? We'll find out more. I can see Yannick panicking already. We'll find out more up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. You're tuned in to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and we have the artistic director of the Singapore Dance Theatre, Yannick Shergan, who is in KL with Ballet Company to perform in Ballet Illuminations 2016. And this is the seventh year, Yannick has just mentioned, that the Singapore Dance Theatre has actually come to Malaysia to perform. And, let's look at the performance, which is going to kick off tonight. You've got something called August Bournonville.
August Bournonville is probably the most famous of the early 19th century. Well, he is the most famous of the early 19th century choreographers, and he's in many ways the granddaddy of classical ballet. He is where ballet really sort of refined itself, and he famously elevated the level of male dancing up to the level of female dancing. He didn't think that ballet should only be about women, and so the dancers are equalized in their techniques, and also he wanted ballets to be happy. There were ballets that, everybody's sad and everybody dies at the end, and he felt that ballets should have a pleasant outlook, and so all of his story ballets reflect that look. And so Bournonville Divertissements, which is assembled from four different pieces, is probably one of the most uplifting, beautiful pictures come to life, you can imagine.
Very traditional, would you say?
Absolutely.
Very traditional. Yeah. Last year, you included a piece of contemporary ballet by Natalie Weir, titled Bittersweet. What contemporary ballet piece are you going to surprise us with this
year? This year, we're not doing anything that's particularly contemporary, actually on purpose, because we showed that aspect of ourselves. You don't want to show the same face to the public all the time. Bittersweet by Natalie was done as a commission that I asked for specifically, and it's a very exciting pas de deux. It has all of the things that people respond to on a very immediate fashion, so it's almost impossible not to like. It's very clear in its intention, and it's very sexy, and it's very emotional, and it's very strong.
So no contemporary this time?
Not this time.
Okay. And you're presenting another piece by Chu San Go this year. And it's Schubert Symphony?
Yes. Okay. And actually, as you were playing the opening of it as we went into this segment, it's the second symphony, and it's the jewel in the crown of Singapore Dance Theatre, really. It is absolutely the jewel in our crown, because Chu San was one of the inspirations for the founding of the company. He was never involved in the company, but he was one of the – his success as a choreographer and as a dancer was one of the inspirations that made Singapore feel, we can have a company here. Look what Chu San did as a dancer.
So he was the inspiration.
He was one of the inspirations for the company, and his ballets, bringing his ballets back to Singapore Dance Theatre, which have been done all over the world, is one of the proudest achievements that Singapore Dance Theatre has ever accomplished.
He's been able to incorporate what, Asian elements?
He, as a choreographer, he did, because he came from a completely Chinese background, and so therefore a lot of, combined with Western ballet, what people always said was unique about him was he could combine those two elements. Schubert is the least, it's his most classical ballet. He actually did it on a dare from somebody.
And that somebody was you.
Well, he kept saying, oh, I can do a purely classical ballet, no problem, no problem. I said, well, then why don't you and just shut up about it? So he created Schubert Symphony. And everybody since is amazed that this man who – and the thing is that we've put it right next to Theme and Variations, which is done by the most important choreographer in all time, Balanchine. And where you compare Schubert Symphony and Theme and Variations – they are of the same level. And you go, well, that's quite amazing from a boy who was trained at Singapore Ballet Academy in Singapore.
Would you say Chu San has a signature?
Absolutely. Yeah. You notice the musicality. You notice the speed. You notice the clarity, the sophistication. He was an enormously intelligent person. He was highly emotional in a good way. And you can see all of those things as displayed in his work.
Okay. And Chu San came from a family of ballet dancers?
Well, there were 10 children in the family, and 4 of them became ballet dancers.
And what do you think pushes them to create rather than just interpret dance?
I think it was different in the case of each of the four. One was the founder of Singapore Ballet Academy, Sun Yi. One became a principal dancer in China. They were both trained at the Royal Ballet School in London, And his next sister, Su Kim, was one of the co-founders of Singapore Dance Theatre. Mm-hmm. And then Chiu Sam was a principal a soloist dancer and then choreographer throughout the world. And he was the choreographer of the Washington Ballet. It was just an extraordinary family.
Last year, you performed Chiu Sam's Double Contrast.
Double Contrast.
So how different is that from the Schubert Symphony that you're going to be performing? Yeah.
Double Contrast is a lot more. It's a lot cheekier, actually. it's contrasting a sophisticated group next to a youthful group, and so it was a lot more vibrant in a very obvious way. Mm-hmm. Schubert Symphony is class and distinction. It's okay. Elegance.
Okay. All right. So, together with August Bournonville, it's going to be very classy then this year?
This year is at a very high level. You're going to see the kinds of ballets you'd have to really go. I mean, Theme and Variations recently was done by the Paris Opera. You'd have to go to London, Paris, or a big major city to see the kind of works we're going to offer tonight.
Okay. His legacy, his works, are they very much alive still today, would you say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm the person responsible for keeping Chiu Sam's legacy alive. And I do it with the greatest of dedication and affection because, yes, that was my best friend, but also somebody that I respected at a level that I can't put into words.
Mm-hmm. Would you say there are other new choreographers emerging?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We've had, in the last few years, we've had, at Singapore Dance Theatre, we've had 24 world premieres. And those have been made by the predominance is by Asian choreographers. And they've been everything from contemporary to classical works. And they're something that I work really, really, really hard with. And luckily, I'm given the support to be able to achieve that.
Wonderful. And how do you, at the Singapore Dance Theatre, how do you encourage aspiring choreographers?
Well, we have a choreographic workshop. You can't teach choreography, but you can teach the elements of choreography. And if somebody has a voice, it's a little bit like, you know, everybody knows how to write, but not everybody's an author.
Yes.
You can show them the techniques, but unless there's a talent and a voice and a creativity and a little bit of madness.
I like that.
You know, finding
like yourself.
I'm not mad. I'm just a little bit out of control. Unless you encourage that. So the choreographic workshop encourages them to sort of explore and take risks and, you know, and see what happens.
Okay. So what you can expect is Bournonville's work, which you said is quite traditional.
Yes.
And then you have Theme and Variations by George Balanchine. And then, of course, you have the Schubert Symphony by Chiu Sun Goh. Fantastic. So all of that happening by, it's titled Ballet Illuminations by the Singapore Dance Theatre, starts today at 8:30 p.m. at KL Pak Pentas 1. Tickets for tonight's performance are at really low price of just 18 ringgit.
We do that as an introduction.
Okay. But, you know, all the more, I think you should just go and, you know, enjoy it.
Absolutely.
18 ringgit tonight. There are two more performances tomorrow, Saturday at 3 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. and then on Sunday, May the 1st at 2 p.m. Tickets for those are priced at 48 ringgit for Saturday evening and 38 ringgit for the matinee. So would you have a message or, you know, a last word as to why we should all come and watch?
Oh, you know, I always have many words.
Have time.
No, but I'm really glad that we can do this because prior to starting our relationship with KL Pak, we hadn't been to Malaysia for 10 years. And now that we've come 7 years in a row, it's become, you know, the home that we'd like to go to. So it's a very, very nice thing. We're
Fantastic.
Glad that we're welcome.
Wonderful. So it's kicking off today, Ballet Illuminations. Thank you for joining us today, Yannick.
Thank you.
That was Yannick Shergan, Artistic Director of the Singapore Dance Theatre. Don't forget to catch the performances kicking off tonight on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.